Have you ever watched a race and noticed something interesting? It's an interesting thing. The hardest part of a race is not the beginning, and it isn't always the finish line. Seems like the hardest part of the race is the middle, isn't it? It's the middle of the race where people get fatigued. It's the middle of the race where people begin to cramp up. It's in the middle of the race that your body starts hurting. In the beginning, we're excited. We got our new running shoes on. You've registered. You've worked hard. You've been training for this race. And you show up, and you're ready to show out. So everybody's got that beginning energy. And then when you're finishing up and you finally see the goal line, the finish line, there's a surge of adrenaline that hits you like, all right, almost there, almost there, almost there. And you try your best to finish strong. But in the middle, you're tired. In the middle, your legs hurt. In the middle, you're wondering, why did my wife sign me up for this? She's crazy. What was I thinking, a half marathon? I think that for many people, this is where we are spiritually. Spiritually, we start strong. We get really excited about our relationship with God, about our relationship with the Son Jesus. We have big faith, big dreams. We believe God is going to do something incredible. But somewhere along the way, life happens and life gets hard. Storms happen. Disappointment happens. You got tired. You prayed, and God didn't answer your prayer the way you thought you wanted him to answer it. People let you down. People disappointed you. Your circumstances changed. Now you're still moving, but barely. Now you're still moving, but if you're being honest, I'm really dehydrated. We're still moving, but man, I'm starting to cramp up. I'm getting very fatigued. I'm not running like I used to. And it's nothing to do with your age. You're just tired. That's why we look at these words I think are so important to all of us today that Paul wrote to us, the beginning words of Hebrews chapter 12. Let's look at it, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. Let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross. Disregarding his shame, now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. We got to keep our focus on Jesus. When you're in the middle, you got to keep your focus on Jesus. When you're fatigued, you got to keep your focus on Jesus. And the Bible says we got this whole grandstand of people who've gone before us. These faith heroes, Abraham and Moses and Abraham and Sarah and Noah and all these great people the Bible talks about who are great heroes of the faith. It says they're cheering us on from heaven. They're watching us run our race. They ran their race of bold faith. And now they're looking down and they're cheering us on like, don't give up. Don't quit. It's okay. You can do this. Run your race. Don't give up. But looking at Jesus now, think about it. Jesus changed the way we think about heroes. The great heroes of faith were great heroes, of course, but Jesus changed even the way we define a hero. I mean, before Jesus, heroes were seen as great conquerors, champion warriors. But Jesus came along and he said, he who is greatest among you must be servant of all. Jesus says, if you want to be first, got to be last. Jesus says that no greater love has a man than this, than he would lay down his life for his friends. We now define a hero as someone who gives their life for others. We now define a hero of those who rescue others and put their life on the line. We now define a hero of those who've died rescuing others. They're the ones who we say, man, they're a hero. And Paul teaches us how we should run our race. Paul was very clear to us, and number one, write this down. If you want to run your race, he says, you got to drop the weight. Drop the weight. Look at your neighbor and say, is that a fat joke? No, I'm not talking about diet, okay? It never hurts, right? Never hurts. But I'm not talking about your diet today, so you relax. But have you ever noticed that when you get scared, when something scares you and you feel in danger, what do? We run, right? I mean, it's just our instinct. It's our God-given instinct that when we're around danger, we turn and we run as quick as possible. You don't just run, but you drop everything and you run. Come on now. You get scared. Some of you get scared. You drop everything you have. I don't care if you're carrying in groceries. I don't care if you're carrying something valuable. You drop everything. Push your mama over, push the old lady, and get out of there. It's just instinct. You're like, you just don't even think. You're scared, and you run. And we drop everything. Why do we drop everything and push people out of the way when we're scared and running away? Because we run faster when we're lighter. I can get away from danger faster when I'm lighter. We run longer when we're lighter. We run faster when we're lighter. Keeping that in mind, let's go back to the first verse we just read. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down. Paul said, if you want to run this race, you got to strip off the weight. The key to running your race is leaving the weight behind. But how many of us, every morning, if we're being honest, come on now, lean in with me today. How many of us, every single morning, get up and we carry baggage that we have no reason carrying? I mean, we pick up stuff. Nobody made us pick it up. We just feel attached to it. It's my baggage, and I'm going to take it with me. It's my hurt. I'm going to take it with me. It's my failure. I'm going to take it with me. We pick up and carry regret, guilt, shame. We are chasing validation. Listen, there's many people in this room that you didn't have a parent ever validate you. If you're not careful, what will happen is you'll spend all of your life chasing after a father's validation or a parent's validation. I didn't get it when I was like, so we're looking, and nothing ever speaks to that. So you just keep chasing. Every day you get up and chase it. I just want my dad to be proud of me. I just want my mom to be proud of me. I just want someone to be proud of me. And we're chasing validation. How many of us are getting up, picking up comparison and shame? Look what it says here in Psalms 51, 7 and 8. The psalmist said, purify me from my sins and I will be clean. Wash me and I will be whiter than snow. And look what it says. He prays this prayer. Oh, give me back my joy again. You have broken me. Now let me rejoice. Can I tell you, you'll never receive your joy picking up your shame, picking up your hurt, picking up who wronged you, who hurt you, who abused you, who didn't validate you, all the shame that you did, all the mistakes you made. Welcome to the club. We all have hurts, and we've all made big mistakes in our life. The question is, can you give it to God? Or are you going to pick it up every day? If you choose to live your life like this, it doesn't mean God has not forgiven you. It just means you don't really believe that. It just means that you choose to hang on to it. Your identity is always going to be the victim. Your identity is always going to be, I've blown it. And you become, this thing becomes a thing that weighs us down. What's it do? It steals your joy every single day. It steals your endurance every single day. It makes you fatigued every single day. No wonder we feel like giving up all the time. No wonder we feel like giving up. We have to stop carrying things that we were never meant to carry. You know, I hate walking through the airport like this. If you want to know a pet peeve of mine, okay, I'm going to let you into the BB household. I hate it when this is just my wife's luggage. Any husbands know what I'm talking about? Well, honey, I just cannot do this without taking everything I own. I just can't do it. But I will tell you something. After 30 plus years of marriage, we've made progress. And I finally have convinced my wife, when it's possible, and we're just taking a short trip for a couple of days, and we're flying, pack everything compact into a carry-on, take a backpack, and to bring your carry-on luggage, and we can travel so much quicker. We don't have to stand in line to check in our luggage. We go straight to the gate. Print out our tags early, and we go right to the gate, our boarding passes, and get through security. When we get off the plane, our luggage is right there. They didn't lose it because it traveled with us every single time. And we get it off, and we go out, and we go straight to our car or straight to our Uber, whatever we're doing, because we don't have to wait on this luggage. Come on now. I'm just telling you, man, that has really been a blessing. And it has helped our marriage so much. It really has. Some of you husbands can thank me later. I brought it up. You're too scared to say it to your wife. We want to get there as quick as possible, right? And traveling heavy doesn't allow us to do that. How many of us pick up unforgiveness? How many of us pick up hurt and bitterness every day? This is what happens. They hurt me. I'm bitter. I'm mad. I'm hurt. And you're carrying this luggage. And the person who hurt you, they're out there living their best life. One, they may not have known they hurt you. And if they did, they've moved on. They don't really care. But bless God, every day, I'm going to pick up the hurt. I'm going to ask my God-given right to carry this hurt every single day and this unforgiveness. And we're carrying things we were never meant to carry. And then we wonder why we have no endurance. I want you to understand this, that you got to say to God, God, the person who hurt me, the person who abused me, the person who slandered me, the person who did me wrong, by setting it down, I'm not saying what they did was okay. What I'm saying is this, God, I'm tired of carrying this. I'm going to let you carry it for me. I'll let you deal with them. And I'm going to walk free from this because I'm not going to be a slave to this every single day of my life. For the rest of my life. So I give it to God. You know, I let God carry it. I got news for you. God's a lot stronger than us. He can take it. He's a big boy. I promise you. He can take it. This doesn't bother him at all. He's like, finally, I've been waiting for you to cast your cares upon me. Cast the things that are burdening you. This sets me free. It's not setting them free. It's setting me free. See, notice the difference. When I put it down, I'm not setting that person who hurt me free. I'm setting me free to say, no longer is that hurt going to keep me in a cage. No longer is that mistake I made going to keep me from living my life. I can't change it. I've asked God to forgive me. I've told people I'm sorry. Now I got to let it go and let God take care of the rest. That's what I got to do. And then number two, I got to understand this. I got to run with endurance. Run with some endurance. Let's go back to verse 1 again and look at it. He says, let us what? Strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us all up. And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. Why would Paul tell them to run with endurance? Because they were quitting. People were giving up. And so he's like, quit giving up. Run with some endurance. Don't give up. Hear me today. I just want to be your pastor and your spiritual coach today and just encourage you. Stop giving up on God every time life gets hard. You're not just running the race. You've got a different spirit inside of you. You've been given a different power inside of you. You've got a cheat code. It's called the Holy Spirit. And God's power wants to flow through you when life gets hard. You don't believe me? Look what it says in the Bible. It backs us up in 2 Corinthians 12:9. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect when I'm feeling weak. God's power wants to kick in my life. How does it kick in? When I drop the weight and lift my hands. When I drop the weight, lift my, it's hard to worship when I'm hanging on, but when I drop the weight and lift my hands, the power of God can begin to kick in my life. Why does he say this to us? Because, and Jesus backed this up in all of his teachings, he taught us that Jesus expects us to grow some deep roots. That's why every Sunday we pray that prayer, almost every single Sunday, let the word of God grow deep roots in my life. Why? God wants us to grow deep roots because he doesn't expect us. He doesn't want us to, he wants us to stop getting blown over every storm that comes our way. Some of us get blown right over because we're really shallow in our roots. He said, I want you to grow some deep roots. Build your house on a firm foundation. Jesus never promised us that life wouldn't be hard. I know you've heard some pastor teach that, and I'm just going to say, that's not true. Jesus never once said that life would just be easy, pie in the sky. I know, that's great. It may sell books, but it's not the truth. What I'm telling you is this, but Jesus did say this. He says, listen, in this world, you're going to have some trouble. That's what Jesus said. In this world, you're going to have some trouble, but take heart. I've overcome the world, and greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So we understand there's a greater power inside of me. Take heart. I'm not going to get blown over. Take heart. I'm not going to get washed away. Take heart. Run with endurance your race. Stop quitting every time life gets hard. Come on, turn to your neighbors. Don't be a quitter. How many know we're raising up some strong young men and women in the house today? They're going to follow God. We're going to set by, come on, mom and dad, you're going to be strong and you're going to set a great example. Look what it says in Romans 5:3. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. Suffering produces endurance. This is why suffering is necessary in our life. It produces endurance. We got to have endurance if we're going to finish our race. How many know muscle development only happens when there's weight resistance? True, correct? You can't do it. When I exercise using weights and machines, it requires resistance. I'm getting stronger, I'm building more strength. Any kind of resistance will build strength in my life. So when we face resistance in our life, Begin to thank God. God, you are making me stronger. God, I'm walking through some resistance in my life because you're developing me. You're making me strong. You're taking me through a season of resistance so that I can build some strong muscles spiritually because you're wanting me to endure so that I can finish my race well, so I can finish my race strong. It's a setup. He's trying to develop us. He's trying to strengthen us. And without struggle, there is no strength. Without struggle, there is no growth. Growing, endurance makes me stronger. When pressure comes, I grow strength. When storms come, I grow my roots deep. When the heat comes, it's purifying me. When criticism comes, it's building my endurance. Newsflash, you're always gonna have some haters. I know. Some of you need to hear that today. Newsflash, you're always gonna have some haters. And if you ever wanna lead anything, you're gonna have somebody criticizing you. Anytime you take steps out for God, anytime you lead things for God, anytime you're asked to be the boss, anytime you're asked to lead this crew, you're going to be a target for criticism. The more you lead, the more people will criticize you. If you want everybody to like you, sell ice cream, right? I said that one year, several years ago, I had a guy come up to me, he said, Pastor, I used to sell ice cream and not everybody liked me. Because they even get mad at the ice cream salesman. People are going to get mad. It's going to happen. But look at this statement. This is so true. I want you to hear this today. Our race is a marathon, not a sprint. Our race is a marathon, not a sprint. Some of you think that our race on life is a sprint. But can I tell you today, if you're breathing today, you're still in the race. Come on now, give yourself a hand. Yeah, there you go. And we're all in an endurance race. But the problem is many people in this room, I thank God I'm not this way, but many people in this room are super competitive. Super competitive people. They like to win the race. Not only do they want to win the race, they want to win it every day. And so it becomes this thing of when I'm not winning the race against others, it's slowing me down. I'm not good enough. God doesn't love me. We run our race competing with everybody else. Competitive people, compare yourself to people in this room, people on your job, people in your family, people at your school. And we compare ourselves to everybody else. And all that does is this right here. Comparison slows me down. Comparison makes me try to run your race and not my race. Comparison drains my endurance. Comparison steals your joy. I know this is really hard to hear, but I want you to hear this today. There's always going to be someone who runs faster than you. I know that's hard to hear. There's always going to be someone that's better than you are. There's always going to be somebody who gets more likes than you get. There's always going to be somebody who gets more followers than you get. There's always going to be somebody who gets more sales than you get. And when you live your life comparing to everybody else, you stop being effective and you stop running with endurance. It happens. I mean, it gets crazy, right? Comparison. Now, I would never compare myself to anybody. How about you? We all do it, don't we? I mean, I can make a great post on social media about something that's life-changing word of God, make a video, and on my best day, maybe I can get 5,000 people to watch that video. I mean, I feel really good about myself, about sharing a video that got 5,000 views, encouraging people to follow Jesus. My son can make a video about someone how to pose and smile bright in the sunlight and get 20 million. I'm like, God, I'm trying to send people to heaven. He's sending them to hell. What are we doing here? We're having a little fun, right? Family fun. But I can't compare. I can't compare. I don't know why God has allowed him to have influence around the nation. I don't know why he's able to get influencer money. I don't. I'm not bitter at all. You don't see Buick sponsor my sermons on Sunday morning. What I'm saying is comparison will steal our joy. Comparison keeps us right here. Comparison keeps you bound. Stop comparing yourself. When you do, you're just picking up this luggage, this weight every single day. Let me give you something that's going to set you free today. Look at this. We are racing against ourselves. That's the race. We're racing against ourselves. Am I doing better this month than I did last month? Then I'm winning the race. Did I give up when I wanted to quit? I didn't. Okay, I'm winning the race. Did I keep going when life got hard? Yes, and then I'm winning the race. It's not, am I as far as long as the person sitting next to me or the person across town or in my school or at my job? It's, am I winning the race with myself? So tomorrow morning when you get up and you begin to brush your teeth, I want you to look in the mirror as you're brushing your teeth and go, you know what? I am running a race against you. I'm running my race against the person in the mirror. That's what you got to remind yourself daily. Quit trying to run your race against everybody else, because then it gets heavy. Then you don't feel like you're making any progress. Can I tell you, some days we run faster than others? That's okay. It's endurance. It's a marathon, not a sprint. Write this down, the last point I'm going to give you today. And to do this, you got to fix your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. This is the only way we can do this. Get your eyes off of everybody else's race. Realize I'm racing against myself, and keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. Look at verses 2 and 3, what they say. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus. He's our champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of what? The joy awaiting him. He endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. He goes, think of all the hostility he endured from sinful people. Then you won't become weary and give up. I want you to hear this today. I want you to understand this today. That Jesus came. And he picked up my luggage. And he picked up your luggage. And he put it on his back on the cross. And he carried up Calvary's Hill, our luggage. He carried up my baggage. He carried up Calvary's Hill on the cross. He carried up my mistakes, my failure, my shortcomings. He carried up in my life. He carried all this up on his back. Why? So I wouldn't have to carry it. He carried it for us to the cross. And the Bible says that when other people mocked him, when they crucified him, when they ripped the flesh off of his back, When they beat him, his eyes were on us. His eyes are on us, knowing that I'm carrying this so they don't have to carry it. He endured the cross because he knew that you and I couldn't run our race carrying this sin, carrying this burden. And he carried it to the cross for you and I so that you and I now can believe in him and we don't have to carry it either. We can set it at his feet and say, Jesus, thank you. You've forgiven me of all my baggage. Every time I've blown it, God, you've forgiven me. Every time I was stubborn, God, you've forgiven me. Every time I didn't feel like I was enough, God, you carried me. Every time I feel like I can't carry it on my own, God, you take it and you carry it for me. He carried it on the cross so we don't have to carry it. Stop carrying this every day. Stop carrying this baggage every day in your life.